This morning, the message I have for you, I always feel like when I go somewhere and minister that I'm on assignment from the Lord. And I believe this morning what I have to share or will begin to share is a word for this church. I'm on assignment to deliver this word. And so this morning, just been laboring before the Lord in prayer, and I'm believing that this particular word will bring forth a change in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we come before you, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for Pastor Brendan, Pastor Sharon, their staff, their team. We thank you, Lord, for their leaders, those who serve the board. Lord, we just ask your goodness to come upon them. We thank you, Lord, for this upcoming Friday, that this Friday will be an explosive time, Lord, in this church as it step up into its destiny. I thank you, Lord, for the upgrade you are bringing in this church, an upgrade of corporate favor in this particular area, Lord, an upgrade of favor, notable favor, Lord, coming upon this church, coming upon this people. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the graciousness of the Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord Jesus praise again. I want to talk to you from the book of Daniel. And it's one of my favorite books, and it's an interesting book because basically the book of Daniel gives us a picture of God's heart about the marketplace. Say to your neighbor, I am a part of the marketplace. And I'm going to explain that in a second. The word of the Lord began to come out about the marketplace. And a good portion of the church interpreted that word, that what God actually wanted to do was raise up millionaires and raise up people who would just support the ministry. And that was a part of it. And I believe we framed the wrong picture that was in the heart of Christ regarding marketplace ministry. And I believe that what the Lord wants to do in the marketplace is something that will completely blow our minds. So this morning, I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Daniel, the first chapter. And I know I won't finish this message in this particular service. The Lord gave, I'm in the second verse, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hands, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels and to the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and the nobles, youth in whom was no defect, who were good looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. He ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, and at the end of which they were to enter into the king's service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and Azrael, Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind, I am not going to defile myself with the king's choice food and with wine which he drank. And so he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now get this. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, I am afraid of my king, the Lord, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should we see your faces looking haggard than the youth who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king. But Daniel said to the overseer whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youth who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youth who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink, and he kept giving them vegetables. And as for the four youth, man, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. And Daniel even had understanding of all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael. And as for the matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them to be 10 times better than all the magicians, conjurers who were in all his realm. And David and Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. It's a powerful chapter. You have to understand, there was no church building for Daniel to attend. In fact, Daniel and the three men who were with him, the Bible says, and they were taught all the literature that was among the Chaldeans. And so they went to school. So they had to learn algebra, calculus, differential equations. They had to learn the literature. They had to learn the way of the Chaldeans. They had to learn everything about their culture. When we look at the life of Daniel, we see that God called Daniel to be a prophet. But he was not a prophet inside of a church building. He was a prophet inside of the White House of the Babylonians. He was a prophet inside of the political system of Babylon. He served in the government. God did not place him inside of a church. God did not place him inside of a temple. God placed him inside of the political system of Babylon. My God. The implications of this is so great, because in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the Bible says that the truths or the stories that are shared in the Old Testament are our examples. I believe that one of the things that God wants to see happen in the body of Christ, especially in this city and in this church, is that we have to understand that God has called us beyond the walls of this church. And that only 5% of the body of Christ is called to stand behind the pulpit. And the other 95% are called to represent him in the marketplace. 5% are called to be ministers behind the pulpit. And the other 95% of the body is called to be ministers of God in the marketplace. And I believe that one of the reasons why we have lost our effectiveness in the marketplace is because we do not believe that God is out there. Man, I've heard believers say, man, oh, man, to be out there with those sinners, man, and this wicked system and this wicked world and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we fail to understand that we have the kingdom of God within us. And the only way that we can fulfill the Great Commission is that we must go beyond the four walls of this church and be planted in the marketplace so that the kingdom of God within us will flow out from us. There are people who will never walk in this church unless we become salt in the marketplace. Now, I'm not talking about us going to work with a 10-foot Bible way down with a cross that's 5 inches and sitting at the desk praying and speaking in tongues and people looking at you like you're crazy. Should we call somebody? And I know some believers who try to do that, man. I mean, they pull the Bible out, man, and feel like they want to look holy. I was actually looking in the scriptures, and it just kind of really touched me that it's interesting. We do not pray, your church come. We pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We do not say the gospel of the church will be preached in all the nations for a witness. The scripture says that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world, and then the end will come. And I think that if we, in our thinking, believe that we're going to get all, I mean, that preaching to the world means that all the preaching must be done inside of this building. We have lost it. The thing that really grabbed my attention, and I don't know if you're thinking with me this morning, is that most of us spend about 10 to 12 hours of our day in the marketplace. And we spend how many hours here? For some of us, it's an hour and a half. For some of us, it's 2 hours. For some of us, it's 4 hours. For some of us, it's 6 hours. But in one given week, we can spend probably up to 48 hours. 5 times 12. For some of us, we spend 60 hours in the marketplace a week. Now, it would be real waste. It would be waste to God to believe that we just come to church on Sunday and then we go to work and we take off our kingdom clothes. We take off Christ, praise God, and we just go to work. And we spend most of our time at work, then we go to church on Sunday. And we get charged, we get energized from the message. We get cleaned up, and then we go back out to the world, and we have nothing to do with the world. I believe that God wants us to be sent out apostolically from the church on Sunday morning, being deployed into the marketplace. My God. Now, Daniel did not start witnessing. The Hebrew boys did not start witnessing. But the key for them, and the scripture says in the 9th verse, someone can read that for me, in Daniel 1:9, if someone can read that for me real quick. 1:9. Reason why I closed my iPad, and so it would take me longer to find it. Has anyone found it? Daniel 1:9. And God brought what? Daniel into favor. To change a city, to change a community, you have to change the marketplace. To change the marketplace, it will take believers in the marketplace. Man. I don't know if you see the implications of this. If you look at the life of Joseph, you will find that Joseph was not planted in a church, but he was planted in the king. He was planted in the business arena. Daniel was planted in the marketplace. Now, one of the distinctives and one of the things I heard this morning from the Lord as I was standing in this building, and it was as the king extended his scepter towards Esther, the Lord is extending his scepter towards this church. And there is a degree, an unusual shield of favor that God is releasing upon this church, so that you can represent him in the marketplace. In fact, there has been a level of favor that God has placed on this church, but we have not used up the corporate favor that he has placed over this house. I believe that this church will become a church where organizations, banks, tech companies will seek out members from this church because it produces the best workers. I believe that God will literally begin to do something significant in this church where, because people begin to understand, if you have someone employed from TCC at your job, things are going to go better. Oh, man. Oh, man. Now, how many of you know that something has to happen to us? And I believe the thing that God is after, man, I believe this, that God is after. God wants to release favor on this church. Now, what is favor? Favor from the Lord is an act of kindness beyond what is due. The favor of the Lord is when you receive preferential treatment. The favor of the Lord is that God shining the spotlight on you, just like you may have a major actor in a movie and the spotlight is on the movie actor or actress. God will feature you and cause you to stand out above everybody else. How many of you would like to see that happen to you? Favor is when people go out of their way to bless you. Favor is when you experience exceptional kindness bestowed upon you. Favor, the favor of the Lord occurs when people are friendly regarding you and you receive preferential treatment from someone who is a superior. The Bible states in Luke, the 2nd chapter, the 52nd verse, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus increased in favor with God and man. So why do we need favor? Why is favor important? How many of you need favor at your job? Favor can open doors. Favor can remove years of struggle in one day. It happened to Joseph. Joseph was in prison. And in one day, and he received a prophetic word in his youth through dreams two times that he was going to become a mighty ruler. I believe that dream probably faded out in his mind. But in one day, Joseph standing in before the king, Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "Where can I find such a man of wisdom?" And Daniel, who was in the bottom of a prison, brought to stand before a king, gave the king wisdom. And the king said, "I know who that man is. You are." In one moment, he was lifted out of the bottom of a prison and made to be second in charge of the entire known world at that time. In one moment, favor can pull you out of the valley and place you at the top of the mountain. Favor can accelerate your destiny. Favor can release sudden promotion. Favor can grant you access to opportunity that others do not have access to. Favor can cause people, organizations to give you what you need. Favor can create platforms for you that excel your work. Favor can activate the right people to be in your life at the right time. How many of you can say, "I need some favor"? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Why would God extend his scepter towards this church and give you favor? Why would God promote you? Why would God feature you? How many of you need to know that it's not just for you? It's so that you can represent him in the king, his kingdom, so that you can carry his presence inside of a wicked world, so that you can be the bright shining light. Some of you have to change your frame of reference about the marketplace. Every day you go to work, you are being sent out from the Lord and to the marketplace to represent him. Lastly, what I want to leave with you this morning, and then I share the other part in the other service. How do you get favor? First of all, the favor of God comes to you because you're righteous. You got to believe that you're righteous. And I'm not talking about righteousness that you create by your rightness. I'm talking about righteousness. The Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness, when God clothes us with righteousness, it gives us access before the Father. And righteousness is a gift. It is a gift that he bestows upon you. And I believe that we have to have a better understanding of his righteousness. Righteousness gives you access. Righteousness gives you the same access to the Father that Jesus had to the Father when he walked on the earth. There is no difference between his access to the Father and your access to the Father, because of his righteousness. And this happens when you give your life to Christ. So you have to believe in his righteousness. You have to believe in the gift of, and how many of you, and some believers right now are having problems with that in their minds right now, because you're saying, "Well, how can you say that?" I want to say this to you. When God places his righteousness upon you, it's like God placing a white robe on you. So every time he sees you, he sees that white robe. Righteousness, it's the picture of righteousness, is Jesus taking our history unto himself and giving us his history. We have that white robe on, but believe me, how many of you know there's some stuff under that robe? Oh, y'all, how many of y'all believe there's some stuff under that robe? Now, the stuff that's under the robe, the transformation that takes place there is sanctification. So we're daily being conformed into his image. But his righteousness gives us access before the Father. Number two, I'm going to say humility. You got to have humility. Humility, God, the scripture says in 1 Peter 5, God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Humility is the gateway to favor. If you walk in pride, you repel the flow of God's grace. You repel the favor of God. Favor is coming towards you, but when we walk in pride, guess what happens? God resists us. When we walk in, and humility doesn't mean you walk with your head down. Humility means that you walk with a dependence upon the Lord. You're not depending on what you can do. You depend on what he can do through you. I just want to say this one thing about humility, and maybe I just have to stop at this point. There are a lot of people, who are not promoted and not moving in the favor of God because God is resisting you. And he resists you because of how you treat people in authority. The inability to submit to people who are in authority is an issue of pride. Hear me on this. There are some of you right now who are stuck because it is your attitude at work. It is the attitude that you do not submit. Sometimes the reason we don't submit is because we get this in our minds, it's not fair. I'm talking about this from experience. I have seen people when they allow themselves to be broken and they begin to understand that the person in authority at work represents the Lord. That authority they have, you may not like that person's personality, but the position they have, that position of authority came from God. It came from God. The authority, no authority exists that does not come from God. You have to honor the position. Oh, man, you have to give respect to the position because it came from God. And some of us at work, man, we are being you and you're trying to figure out. Some of you have great callings on your life. God watches the little things. God watches how you treat the things of God. That, you know, when people serving and they come in and anytime they want to, you know, when they're serving or when people are serving and they don't like the person who's in charge and they think they should be in charge and they think they're better. And sometimes God, in his wonderful wisdom, he wants to promote you, but he understands that he has to put somebody younger over you so that you can learn how to submit. Because when you learn how to submit to those that you are working under and receiving pay from, then he can entrust you with promotion. All right, Pastor, I just believe that I've reached my point, and we will cover the rest in the next service. I want to ask you this morning, how many of you would say, man, I really do believe that God has his hands on my life. And I've been looking for a position of ministry in the church, but I'm realizing this morning that God has called me to represent him in the marketplace. And that I have a place of ministry there. If you feel that way, that God has opened that up to you this morning, I'd like for you to stand wherever you are. And then I'd like for those of you, when I started talking about humility, man, because I'm going to tell you right now, man, I remember God had me working in some places, man, because he was dealing with my attitude. He resisted me. He gives what? And then another passage, it says that God will literally, he will lift the humble up. Oh, man. Oh. I was trying to make sure y'all know that I'm not preaching heresy here. But God will Give grace to the humble and resist the proud. How many of you just will admit this morning, Lord, I have really been prideful. I'm tired of being stuck. I know my attitude has not been right at work. I've been trying to run things on the rail of faith, of things being fair, and it's not working, and I don't understand the invisible wall that's been standing in front of me. Just raise your hands where you are, and you can say that you're talking about me. Amen. Your ability to say that you are the one is an act of humility. Come on, saints. I want to pray for you right now. And I'm not going to have you come to the altar. I just want to pray for you. Sometimes God will place, y'all have to understand, sometimes God will place what you perceive to be a wicked boss over you. Someone that's mean, but they're not mean. It's just somebody whose temperament crosses with yours. And God wants you to adapt to them. You're trying to get them to adapt to you. You've launched a campaign at work talking about them behind their back, and you're trying to figure out why you won't get paid. God, the heart of the king is in the Lord's hands. Lord, I pray for these men and women this morning who are standing here this morning. Just raise your hands before the Lord. Lord, even as you spoke to me this morning and have been speaking to me this week, that you want this church, Lord, to become a place that will be highly sought after for workers, for managers, supervisors. Lord, that people would end up calling Pastor Brendan, do you have someone at your church, an IT worker? Because I've heard that anybody who attends your church, they're the best. They're the best. They bring the atmosphere. I don't understand what they bring, but they bring something special on the job. Lord, hey, Pastor Brenda, do you just have somebody that, hey, they can be a greeter at the door? I just need somebody from your church in my job, because they carry something. And we heard that when people from your church work at their site, their production goes up. Their sales goes up. The contracts goes up. Because the favor of the Lord is upon the people of this church. And so, Father, Lord, I'm declaring in Jesus' name over these men and women, Lord, that we're in a season, Lord, where we can say, Lord, at the end of the day today, we can say the church has left the building. The church has been deployed like men and women being apostolically sent out to plant a church. They're being sent out to represent Jesus on the job. They are salt. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you will begin to do a work in this church, Lord, where men and women have been stuck, and that you will raise them up to top positions. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you will do it. And for some, Lord, let sudden promotion come in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, for accelerating destinies in this church. And we thank you, Lord, for a mighty move of your spirit in the marketplace in Jesus' name. If you believe that, give the Lord praise this morning. Amen. Receive Pastor Brendan.